As we remain standing, let us pray. Lord, I pray that we may live this day and please you more and more. Lord Jesus, I pray this day we can take up our cross and follow you. Holy Spirit, I pray this day that you will fill us with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Holy, blessed, and glorious Trinity, three persons in one God, have mercy on us. Amen. Please be seated. Just some child news. Adam is now running and has not stopped since he discovered running. Then they start running away from you. I didn't want to tell you that, but that's kind of what happens, you know? We like heroes and heroines. We like people who do impossible things or overcome great odds. The hero ideal views people in terms of fame, influence, and accomplishment and calls us to follow them in success. I think in one sense, we do need heroes. We need heroes to inspire us. Yet, a hero model can lead to superficial perceptions and unrealistic expectations of other people and of ourselves. It's easy to view people in the Bible as heroes and see them as somehow removed from the normal problems of human existence. If we do, we risk the message that addresses the real-life questions all of us face every day. Where is God when life turns sour? When things don't turn out the way we expected? And this one, when bad things happen to good people. And the Bible struggled with these issues as well. And it lies at the heart of the Elijah stories. Elijah had just experienced a dramatic climax to his ministry in his confrontation with the worshipers of Baal on Mount Carmel. I think that's in chapter 18. You can go back and read that. And he made a mortal enemy of Queen Jezebel. Boy, do we hear that name 5,000 years later. Definition of a Jezebel, right? Whose prophets have been decimated. The spectacular revelation of God in the fire on Mount Carmel would remain the most sensational triumph of his career. And he walked away from Mount Carmel a hero. But in today's reading, he's not very heroic. Jezebel would not give up so easily. She vowed to kill this troublesome prophet of God, and Elijah feared for his life, so he ran. He took off as fast as he could. He was done. Here we see Elijah as a very ordinary human being. The hero of Mount Carmel had quickly became the despondent loner crying, "I've had enough." What happened to Elijah? Like many areas of our life, great victories are often followed by times of doubt, discouragement, and depression. Emotional stress, physical fatigue, individual personalities, body chemistry, genetic makeup, we're up is down and down is up, can sometimes continue to bring on the blues. Or even a deeper depression. More often, these feelings are totally unrelated to our spiritual commitment. And here's the good news today. They are simply the result of being human. People committed to God are not immune to being human. What a novel concept. Even clergy have been known to be human. You've discovered that about me, I think. Whether positive or negative, emotions are part of humanity. Our emotions are part of the biological and chemical parts of our bodies and are often uncontrollable. That is why using human emotions as a kind of a side measurement of our spiritual condition is hazardous. Feeling good and being happy are not always good measures of our commitment to God. I feel terrific when I eat chocolate. I feel really super when the Jays win. I have not been feeling so good this weekend. I'm not watching the game today either. Likewise, feeling depressed or discouraged, anxious, doubtful, feeling like I've had enough are not necessarily signs of a spiritual relapse or lack of commitment. Certainly, Elijah had given up, but that didn't mean he wasn't a spiritual warrior. He left his country in the north and traveled south. And when he got to the border of Israel, Beersheba, he kept going and abandoned God's land for the desert. Finally, he goes to sleep. I don't know about you, but I have found sometimes you just got to go to sleep. Has anyone ever found that? You're done, I'm done, I'm going to have a nap. Oh, yeah, like this afternoon. Elijah's emotions had pushed him to the brink of despair. He had come to the point when he did not think he could continue his prophetic ministry. So this is what happens to me in the churches that I've been the pastor of. I would have something would happen in the church and I couldn't handle it. You know, the first thing I'd do, I'd go online and look Anglicans, jobs for Anglicans in the world. Any place other than where I was at. I would do that all the time. I haven't done it since I've come here, but what was that? Good save. Yeah, good save. Oh, that was quick. That's right. He'd come to a point where he didn't think he could continue his ministry. And like us, he wanted to give in, throw in the towel, get out of Dodge. But fortunately, God does not give up on us as nearly or as easily as we give up on God. I'm going to say that again. God does not give up on us nearly as easily as we give up on God. In the desert, in the midst of his despair, God came to Elijah. When Elijah may have had enough of God, God had not yet had enough of Elijah. The spiritual practice of grace is at work here. God will never take us where God's grace cannot sustain us. God will never take us where God's grace cannot sustain us. That's good news. Elijah was no superhero. There was times when he struggled with discouragement and depression to the point where he wanted to die. And in his state of emotional distress, Elijah was not very responsive to God. But God is so patient with us and so patient with Elijah. God did what was necessary to bring him to a place where he could respond. Gave him something to eat. God is not the kind of God who beats us into submission. That's not the God in Christ Jesus. God does not coerce our response or force our loyalty. That is our decision. But God will bring us to a position where we can respond to him. Sometimes working in unusual or unexpected ways, or sometimes working through very ordinary people or everyday circumstances. But we can trust that God will work, calling us to response. I love this from, I'm just going to read this here. Then he went alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He settled under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I've had enough. Take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors who have already died. He struggled with the same things we do, the highs and the lows of life. However, every time God said to do something, he did it. God told him to stand up and rebuke kings, and he did it, even putting his own life on the line. If God told Elijah to hide, he did it. If God told Elijah to move, he did it. His life was marked by obedience. When things in our life change and we don't know the reason why, often we don't. We are still expected to obey God when we hear his voice. Now we know that God speaks through word, scripture, and God will give us directions. God will speak to our heart if we just listen. And God didn't give Elijah all the details of the plan. As a matter of fact, at the end of that text, it says, now, go on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. Just like that. He didn't give him all the details. We don't have all the details. He just said his word and Elijah obeyed. Mount Horeb, where Elijah found himself after his long journey through the desert, was the very mountain where Moses had encountered God in a fire in a burning bush. And it was at that mountain, also called Mount Sinai, that God had given the law to Moses, amid fire, smoke, and thunder. And even though Elijah had not fully recovered from his emotional valley, he was told to move on. Get up and move on his way. Keep moving. Just put one foot in front of another. And sometimes that's just enough. We can't always expect a quick fix, a microwave antidote to our discouragements. The healing may be slow. You may not even know you're being healed. Sometimes beginning the process is enough. And one of the things we discover in the New Testament is when Jesus healed people, he did so, for sure, by just speaking the word. But there were other times when he told someone to do something specific and they would be healed. The blind man had to wash in the pool. A paralyzed man had to take up his mat and go. I think I preached on this. The women's, remember that? He took up his circumstances. Circumstances didn't change, but he took them up and he kept walking. The man with the withered hand had to stretch it out to the Lord. The woman caught in adultery had to go and sin no more. How much more should us who know Christ Jesus strive to move beyond our limits and trust that God will always and forever provide? I was a little apprehensive, a little nervous about retirement. What am I going to do? Am I going to be bored? My life's... No. What? No, I'm not going to be bored. No, I'm not going to be bored. But people have said that, I'll be bored. But you know what? I'm trusting that God is taking me into my next season of my life. I trust that implicitly. I have to. And the older I get, the more I trust God. The closer I get to death, I think. When we put God first, when our only desire and choice is that which better leads to God's life deepening in our hearts, when we are obsessed with it, we need to be obsessed with God, okay? And not with Facebook. That's where we need to be obsessed. And when we know that God is in us, around us, above us, and beside us, then God will cause us to dwell in prosperity. And that does not mean riches. It means the fruit of the Spirit, keeping us at ease, even in the midst of our trials. And for Elijah discovered, it was in the quiet. It was in the stillness. It wasn't in the earthquakes or the wind, or the fire, that we hear God in our lives, that we hear his prompting. And this is what God says to us. I am with you, and there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. There is nothing. God loves us. God provides for us. In fact, God adores us. And God holds us in the palm of his hand, saying, I made you. You're mine. Come home to me. Let us pray. Lord, your word tells us not to worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. On this your day, we thank you again for your faithfulness that endures forever. Blessed are we, O Lord, because we've known you. Blessed are we because we believe in you. Blessed are we because you are our great hope. Blessed are we because you are our God forever and ever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.